Okay, we are recording.
We'll introduce ourselves. I'm Kim Williams, chair of this committee.
I'm James Francis.
I'm David Reed.
I'm Betty.
Jordan Steffens, County Finance Director.
Good. Okay, we'll turn the meeting over to you.
He does not have a vote. He serves here in an advisory capacity. Just so you know.
Yeah.
And we do have a quorum. I'm Ron Miller, Executive Director.
I'm Peggy Bilby, Administrative Coordinator of Innovation Parks.
Thank you, Peggy. Public comment? We don't have any.
No public.
This is not a real controversial meeting. In fact, this should be
easiest meeting you've had all year.
Okay. Approval of minutes from the meeting of November 20th, 2017. Has everybody had a chance to review it? Does anybody have any questions or concerns?
I'll move approval.
I'll second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Like sign if you're opposed. We've passed the minutes. And we're moving on to the annual review of the Investment Advisory Committee Charter Attachment B to the documents on the table. Everybody get a copy of these?
No changes proposed, right?
None.
No changes.
It served the test of time.
It has. our investment options are fairly limited. We don't have a lot of activity. We're very conservative. We follow statute. We have investments in two funds, Ford Prime and SPIA. So we follow the committee charter and we don't have anything to add.
Anybody have any concerns or questions about the charter? If not, I'll call for a motion to, I guess we're going to approve it. Is that what we're going
to
do?
Yeah, you don't need to approve it, only okay. If there are any recommended changes to that into the investment policies.
Or the annual review of investment policy, there's no changes, so there's nothing really.
Unless someone has something they want to propose.
No, I don't have any changes to this. I was just going forward, and maybe we can talk more about this when we get to the investment performance. I'll wait until the investment performance.
Okay, sure.
That's now.
Okay.
Thanks for waiting.
Pleasure.
On the investments, I know we're taking advantage of the higher rates for Florida Prime as the interest rates have gone up short term. And what's on SPIA? I know they cap us at a certain amount, and I didn't know what our cap was.
The cap's $3 million.
$3 million?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is there any indication, they have generally capped that as of December 31st in different years? And it's been a couple of years, and I know they've been trying to get the local governments out of it.
Yes.
I didn't know if we think that they're going to try to cap that.
I have not heard anything new. I know that's a risk by not having as much invested there.
Right. I think at this point, things have changed. I mean, SPIA was making more, and at some point, it seems to me, the curve is going to change, so the long-term rates are going to be getting more, and we might be better having an opportunity to get back into SPIA. I just didn't know what the status was. But if we've got $3 million and they haven't told us, then we can go back in there later if we need to. And another question I had on the investment, the $1.4 million that we show, that we always show, is related to capital improvements. How does that relate to the $1.8 million that we, we had the Collins Building, I think we had it in last year's budget, this year's budget. And now we have it in the current year's budget. Is that, are we expecting to spend the 1.8?
Well, and I was going to get to that in the strategic plan and an update there, but things have changed. It's no longer going to the Collins Building. At least we don't believe it will.
Hey, Bill.
Hey.
Make a mistake of driving downtown or trying to back into the Capitol and
block Monroe Street in both directions. He got stuck.
So all you've missed is the approval of the minutes, the review of the Investment Advisory Committee Charter, and the investment policy.
Good.
It's a long period.
It only took about 20 seconds, I think, to get through that.
I have no comments on any of them, so that's perfect.
Okay. Where were we? On the 1.4 restriction. Again, that restriction was simply something that the board did before I got here. I don't even know what the rationale or justification was. There is actually a reserve in the financial statements for that 1.4 million. I think the intent was at some point it would be used for building renovations. The 1.8 million that we have in the budget was intended to go to the Collins building renovation. That drug on for a while, and trying to get that renovation going. Each time we got ready to do something, somebody would come to us and say, hey, I might have an interest in doing something with the building. So we would explore that with them, and neither of those opportunities that we went to explore just happened. So we got, we finally got the RFP ready to go through the statutory process for doing a design build, which we found out is a rather complex problem with the way statute's written. So we got the RFP ready to go for that, and at the very same time, EDA came out with a grant opportunity for us to allow us to go build a $17 million, 40,000 square foot business incubator across the street, which is something we've talked about doing for a long time. The challenge we had was that it required a 60-40 split, basically. So we had to come up with the 40%, or $6.8 million. So we were able to get FSU to contribute $2.5 million of the match dollars. We got $2.5 million out of Office of Economic Vitality, the intergovernmental agency. So they put in $2.5 million out of the future sales tax dollars. And so that left us miraculously $1.8 million short. So the board decided to shift that 1.8 to go towards the matching funds for the grant. So great leverage opportunity to get those funds. We submitted the application on September 30th, and we're supposed to hear sometime this month whether or not we get that grant. So pretty exciting opportunity for us. Everyone's in the community is behind it.
It's a huge application. It took a lot of work.
Yeah, it was. It took us almost 2 months to put the whole thing together. Because EDA requires you to do things like the archaeological reviews, and you got to send everything through the state. And they're pretty particular. But we have all that. We worked with.
Almost cleared from that until we found the still matter, man.
Yeah.
What?
Historic property.
So, unfortunately, the site that we have is, they'd already discovered some artifacts on that site back when they put the road in. So, as a result, they've had to expand the nature of the investigation that they're doing over there. So, actually, today, or maybe they did it yesterday, they were supposed to be out there doing some ground-penetrating radar to see, you know, what's below the surface. And the good news is we have the National Park Service Southeast Archaeological Center in the park. And they're a tenant, and they do free services for state and local government. So we are utilizing their services to help us work through this process. And they have a great relationship with the State Historic Preservation Office. And so we're all working together and trying to plan ahead. So if we get approval, the plan would be to start the design work in January. So we're trying to get ahead of that process as much as we can. But we still don't know. And if we don't get it, we may be shifting that 1.8 back to the Collins building, which I had another prospect come to me today wanting some space, but we always run into the same problem, which is it's configured as an office building, and people are looking for places to do, you know, light manufacturing assembly to kind of work. So anyway, that's going to be the challenge for the board to decide is, you know, which direction to go, depending on what happens with this grant opportunity. So this is exciting.
Good luck.
Good stuff.
Yeah, thank you.
So there was my strategic update, I think.
So on the Collins building, I think we had $31,000 in rent last year or something. Is there anybody in there now?
Yes, the Department of Agriculture Consumer Services My Fresh Florida, they have a test kitchen in there. So 2,000 square feet out of 25,000 is leased.
Okay.
So our plan is to, this is the rest of my update. My plan is to move our offices out of here, do some basic renovations of Collins, a portion of Collins, and move our offices into there so that we can renovate this building. We'd like to put a some kind of food option in here. And then the other thing that's going to happen that you'll hear in my strategic plan update is in the spring of 2019, this coming spring, we will have a trail around this pond. So we've already started the work. We're working with Public Works. They're managing the construction for us for a small fee. It's been a great opportunity for us to use their resources. They know more about building trails than I do, so we're real excited about that. There'll be connectors that'll go out to different places, so we think it'll draw a lot of people into the middle of the park, and then this would be a great option for food, for breakfast and lunch, probably. So that's the plan.
What's the head count? We're up here on a typical day.
About 2,000.
Is that right?
And that does not include the College of Engineering.
Okay, so that's people who are here.
That's working.
Working.
Yeah, and with Ed and Dan Foss, that's another 125 people. So what we're going to look to do is see if we can find a private partner to work with us on that project. I think there are a few people in town who know how to do food. So we're not going to do food.
So. I guess my main question would be, obviously, this $1.4 million seems to be an arbitrary number at this point in time. So how much of these renovations and capital expenditures do you actually believe are going to be coming out of other resources versus what you have set aside in investments?
It's all of the capital expenditures will basically be coming out of investments.
Right. So that would be, based off of this projection, then really you should have $1.8 set aside as your...
That reserve is arbitrary. The board can choose to change that.
It just seems like it should coincide with what your actual budget and plan is.
That was what we anticipated spending.
Right. So that's why I said if it hasn't been updated in years, it's you may want to look at whether it's necessary or not, and if so, then having it actually tied to something.
I'll be honest with you, I don't even know why they reserved it. I don't know the value of the reserve in our environment. I don't know what that does.
Other than trying to limit you from being able to go below it, but it's... I don't see any... there's no statutory reason why you would have to have it restricted. Like, for, of course, county government, we have certain things that we have to do that... We have to have money set aside for a specific purpose in a separate account, and it is restricted. But I don't see any of this money actually having a legitimate restriction on it other than it's basically just reserved, for the intent to be used for these purposes. But I don't know that it's really, there's no real restriction on it unless the board actually said, all right, we want to reserve this chunk of money for this specific purpose.
Yeah, and frankly, the board has to approve
right
any of these expenditures anyway. So it's very arbitrary, and I have no answer for that.
Inertia.
You said inertia.
Inertia.
That's the rationale.
Because it's been that way and no one has seen a reason to change it.
Okay.
And frankly, the 1.4 was there before we had any designs on spending the 1.8.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were thinking in terms of just generally, we think we might need to renovate some buildings. Let's make sure we all understand that of our approximately $4 million invested, we need some of this set aside. So I think it was more of just a marker to say, we can't spend all of this on any project. We need some set aside for.
I guess the other concern would be liquidity, as far as SBIA has more restrictions now on how and when you can take money out. So You know, as long as the planning is done well enough in advance, it really wouldn't matter.
And that's what I've been doing. I just moved another $178,000, I think it was, from SPIA to Florida Prime, because that was the maximum available.
Right.
Which is, I've started putting that, I don't know if you noticed that, I've started putting that on the sheet where it shows the SPIA available balance.
Mm-hmm.
So in September, it was $718,000, so I moved that to Florida Prime, again, for liquidity purposes. So we're now at, with Florida Prime, we're at over $2 million, so we have the liquidity we need for that purpose. And again, the payout of that project, it's a two-year project, so
right.
I think we'll be fine.
You're not cutting a check overnight.
And yeah, so we'll continue to watch the interest rates, and frankly, I think as long as the Fed keeps raising interest rates, you're going to continue to see the spread between SPIA and Florida Prime. I think the minute the interest rates stabilize, I think you can start seeing maybe switch in the other direction because of the nature of the longer term investments in SPIA. So,
yeah, I can't remember exactly what our last oversight committee, what they projected when it might turn.
I think we couldn't get the advisor to. We couldn't pin them down.
Right.
When it's going to turn, anybody.
Yeah. Anything could happen. So this is. You know, but yeah, I mean,
you know, the key to the bump long term that you get from SPIA is based upon that large idle balance that they typically carry over from year to year. Do we know if that's been changing at all or anticipated to change?
No.
Right. It's something to watch, I think.
Yeah, it's just a matter of what can they react to in the market. You know, with Florida Prime, it's all short term, so they can react to these.
Right.
Changes, so
clearly they did.
Yes, yes. And I think SPIA is stuck because they're in longer, you know, the longer term.
Right. Roll over.
Okay. We're ready to move on to it.
Anybody have any more questions? Or do you have any answer?
So where are we on?
We are on the budget review. So I didn't, unfortunately, I thought I'd included the forecast. We just today closed our September book, so I don't have a nice pretty summary for you, but just so you can see from an approximate cash flow, this doesn't take into consideration accruals or anything, but we're looking at net operating income of about $135,000, which for us is pretty phenomenal. Because we budgeted break even, and basically what happened was we leased space that we weren't anticipating. We IT services for FSU bought the Elbit building, which, if you recall, is that big building there in the lower left. They are in the process of renovating that building, so we did a short-term, like a one-year lease for 13,000 square feet in the Morgan building, which really helped us a bunch. Unfortunately, it's only for a year, and so in I think it's April or May of this upcoming year, we'll lose that revenue. We do have another prospect, actually, for the Collins building, but they may as well go into the Morgan building if the timing works out. Someone else, well, it's Dan Foss, who's doing renovations. They're going to need some place in the spring to put some people, so we may be able to benefit once again from some of that. But that's been a big difference for us. We also hired a new person, added to the staff, Michael Tentnowski. He's our director of entrepreneurship. So when we had a little cash surplus that we were looking at, we thought it was a good time to try to add some staff with some particular skills. And this gentleman comes to us from Quantico, Virginia. They had an incubator up there. When we were looking at developing an incubator, I visited a few, and what I heard on a consistent basis was, before you build the incubator, hire your manager. Let them help you develop the incubator. So that was the thought behind getting that person. We had a choice between hiring that position or adding a business development person who could go do business attraction, trying to bring businesses to the park. At the same time, the Office of Economic Vitality and had formed this Magnetics Task Force for the park, which is focused on It's Dan Foss, Ricardo Schneider is leading it. It's Gary Ostrander from FSU and some others, Greg Bovinger from the Mag Lab. And what they're doing is they're looking at how can we develop these value propositions for potential businesses that might want to locate here and say, here's the kind of benefit you could get from locating here in terms of the technology that's being developed or the kinds of research that's happening at the Mag Lab and the affiliated centers. So they went through that process and they said, you know, we don't have the skill set here to do that. So they OEV contracted with a company called Research on Investments, and they are an economic development lead generator. And they were actually just in town 2 weeks ago, and they've been hired by them, and they're starting this process of generating leads. They're actually out of Montreal, but they've got a global presence. They have relationships with a lot of the big companies. What they're going to be looking at is, can we go find companies that want to locate maybe just their R&D, some R&D component here, or maybe a manufacturing operation with an R&D component. Basically, what Dan Foss is the model of what's possible. So they not only did that, but the OEV also went out and hired a person. And she started about the same time, a couple weeks ago. Matter of fact, we're meeting with her at 2 o'clock. But she is a PhD, an industrial engineer. She used to work at HPMI, the High Performance Materials Institute here in Innovation Park. And she left and went to, was it Greensboro? Mm-hmm. And just so she brings the science side of it. So between her and the lead generator, and then they're looking at how they can put these teams together when we see these opportunities and try to pull people in to see Tallahassee and try to draw them there. So we were thinking, we knew this was in process with OEV, so it made more sense to hire someone who could focus on the business incubation side. So those are really the two things we're trying to do. One is to attract businesses, and the other is to start businesses. So we now have people focused on doing those two things. And Innovation Park and the Mag Lab is all their centerpiece to OEV's strategy. So we're excited about how that's starting to come together. So,
which side do you expect to have the bigger payoff?
The attraction side has the more immediate payoff. The startup side is a longer process. So they're talking...
The need for the startup, though, for especially the wet lab incubator we'd be building here, is so huge and so present, because both BAMU and FSU have a lot of research that's done in a wet lab. And when it comes out to be commercialized, they have to leave town because there is no wet lab they can invent it. But there's a guy with a peanut allergy test kit, and he's doing really well in business. But he was going to be forced to leave here when FSU was going to close their incubator. That we had 2,500 square feet of wet lab space in it. And he got to stay there, so it worked out. So he stayed there until he developed his product further. But so now he's been here, right?
Yeah, he's actually still in the FSU lab. I don't know. He was one of the folks we talked to about the Collins building. And again, it's a square peg and a round hole. It just trying to renovate that building to fit wet lab space is just not. It's not easy. So. But the incubator is not just about wet lab space. That's actually a one part of it. But it's also having an innovation lab where people can do prototype development with whether it's wood, metal, 3D printing, electronics lab. It's going to have all of those components on it. We looked at what Georgia Tech was doing, and they have a lab that's just phenomenal. But we're looking at doing something similar. It'll have, basically, the idea is to have a place where people can build things. You know, we have Domi Station, and I don't know if you all have had a chance to see Domi, but Domi is very focused on more app development, small business kinds of operations. They don't have a place where people can build things unless you're building an app. There's no place to build a tangible product, and so this will give them that space. We'll also have office space and more meeting space and, you know, all the other support stuff, but it'll have a loading dock, and I got a layout I'll show you in a minute, but... But the big differentiator for us is going to be it's a place you can build things, and it's an innovation park around all of this stuff, and that's where the technology is going to be developed, and that's what we're looking to do, support what's coming out of these facilities and the College of Engineering. So we met with the dean at the college, and College of Engineering, and he is excited. He thinks he can fill, you know, half fill the thing in the first year. So I'm not as exuberant as he is, because I'm not trying to fill it with a bunch of students. That's not the idea. But we do think we can develop relationships with them in terms of it. Yes. Although, I will say, we gave a tech grant to some students that graduated last year, and they're doing phenomenally well. They've got a diabetes sensor for a pump, for a diabetes pump, that looks really promising. And they're just
Bluetooth working. To your phone and tell you when you got a leak or yeah. when something's not working.
Yeah.
Really cool.
So, and they're getting the attention of the big dogs. So the big manufacturers are interested in it. So. And we gave $15,000 last year, and they're doing great. But
well, last night was the review night for the students of Operational Excellence Program that's housed here at Innovation Park now, and they did a tremendous job of presenting what they were doing to us as their audience, and I really thought they'd come a long way from the first time I heard.
Yeah, and I saw them pitch at Senior Design Day. And they've come a long way. So it's, and you look at, they've started attracting some money, and they know what they need to do. They're on it. So, but they're going to be a company that's going to be hard to keep here. So, and frankly, I think they're more interested in licensing the technology than actually building it, but which probably makes
they're
sense.
They're inventors, not.
Yeah.
Not manufacturers.
They're engineers. Yeah. So, and there's nothing wrong with that, but.
Works. But. You got to talk about trying to manage it.
But they are out there learning how to be an entrepreneur in terms of raising capital and getting the prototype development done. And all. They're moving along. It's pretty impressive to see these guys grow in the last year, basically. But those are the kinds of folks that we're trying to get to, is these people with a great technology, and how do we help them move it along and get it to a point where they can actually, you know, go into production here, hopefully. Right now, we don't have the support services that we need to have. Not for that kind of operation, so that's what we're trying to build. But anyway, long story back around is we had a choice between funding one physician or the other. We chose the entrepreneurship guy, and it paid off because when it was time to do the EDA grant application, he has experience doing that, which was one of the reasons we hired him. And so he helped us put all that together and package it, and so we're ready to move along, and hopefully end of this month we'll find out good things. So in terms of, again, back to where we're at on the financials, we're in good shape for this year. You can see on the budget for next year, you know, we're again forecasting break even, or budgeting break even before our capital expenditures. So, and that factors in the loss of the tenant for IT services about midway through the year. Factors in everything we know, put it that way. And then we'll be actively hunting to find some tenants to replace them.
Back on the Collins building, is that a white elephant? Is it a drain on resources here? Or
it is to some extent because of the utilities, I mean, that you have to pay.
Is that site attractive enough where it would ever be feasible to raise the building and start over?
I think you'd be better off trying to find somebody that fits the building.
The other thing is,
how old is it?
1987, I believe. Hmm. The other thing is, we have lots of ground.
Yeah,
looks better than the building you got over there, between 6 and 7. I keep telling you about those damn ones.
Yeah, you can't rust my tires.
So as I was saying, we've got lots of ground. Sunnyland Solar left us about 10 acres, I think, when they moved out. We were making $7,000 a year on that land lease.
Strictly the location would be the thing to lever there.
Yeah.
If.
Yeah.
Well, you know, FSU's got a research building going up here, and we've got an $88 million project through the Research Foundation. And it's... If it gets funded, the final funding, they've got some of the funding already from the legislature, and it's about half and half between the Research Foundation's funds and the state legislature to commit. But
That's 125,000 square feet.
Yeah, it's, you know, you start adding that and this incubator that we've got.
And that's going right down there in that lower right hand corner.
This is Malcolm Johnson, be proud of this thing.
So, anyway, so a lot of good things happening. One of the things we need to look at is what we're going to do with that northwest corner. That's mostly all the parcels that we have available. We need to plan that. And it's becoming clear to me that we're going to have to build a spec building at some point to be ready for some of these small companies that need space. Mm-hmm. And to also have it as graduation space so that when companies graduate from the incubator, they have some place to go. So we've got to plan that. We just can't react to an opportunity when it comes up. The lead time's too long, and businesses can't wait for government time. So, any more questions on the budget? Well, I'll give you my update, but I think I pretty much did. And just, I got some pictures though. So you can see. So this was our strategic plan from 2016 to 18. That red shows up so good, but we are actually getting ready to go into another strategic planning session December 6th. So we'll be looking at updating this. But the stuff in red is stuff we've really hit pretty hard. The gray stuff, not as much. But the Business Accelerator Center is the incubator. The programs for startups, I got some information on that and the trails and the revenue. Obviously, we hit the revenue numbers that we've been looking for, including the National Park Service. Well, actually, the National Park Service did not expand into the Johnson Building, but the FSU Department of Anthropology did. Again, that was another where we had an opportunity. They got forced out of the new target location out on West Tennessee. They were in that building that was not real good for them. Apparently a pool hall and a dance club or something in there for anthropologists. Yeah. So
study human back there.
So yeah, you can study them, I'm sure. But we really were able to capitalize on that opportunity when that came about. We've developed a good relationship with David Thayer at FSU, and so the first place he looks when he needs space is us, I think. The trail I mentioned, I got a picture on that. We've done some website rebranding and redevelopment. And really, before this strategic plan, we were just sort of running, chasing after fixing problems. This strategic plan really helped us get focused, and I think the board's very focused on the strategic plan. Matter of fact, my report to them every board meeting is what we've done lined up against the strategic plan. So they have that focus on it as well. And I mentioned adding staff, and we've got a great board right now. We just added Ray Bai. I don't know if you know Ray, former VP of Research at FSU. So he's a great addition.
So I understand work and play.
Okay.
What's the live component? Are you looking at?
Well, that's actually goes into the down below there where it says mixed use development. Yeah. And the housing extended stay. To me, that's part of planning that northwest corner. We think we can put some sort of housing component in there for grad students, postdocs, visitors to the Mag Lab.
Whether it's long stay hotel or short stay, where that's two, 3 month, whatever, but people who are here interacting.
Yes, it would be, I think it would be both. I think it would be the grad student, postdoc housing, and then some other component for the visitors. We're waiting for FSU because they had done a feasibility study based on the number of visitors from the Mag Lab. The Mag Lab gets 1,400 visitors a year, about over 5,000 room nights a year. And they can't really rely on the hotels in town, particularly on football weekends.
Right.
And those folks work, you know, day and night when they're here. So whenever they get time on whatever machine, they got to be ready to go. So they we're looking at adding a 12-room facility right off the back of the Mag Lab. They did the study. They They did the design and engineering work, and the cost kept going up, and they finally said, we don't have the funding for it. So they killed it. So now we're back to having an opportunity, because I'm not sure we could support just the student housing, because that's going to be a very low cost component as well. But we need to master plan that whole area to decide where's the spec building going to go. You know, because we're putting the incubator over there as well. You know, where's the housing opportunities, some meeting space. But we need to. That's part of what I'm going to look at with the strategic plan. Is how can we get that done?
Thanks.
So just to run through, here's the new staff. So we contract out with Talcor and with Melissa Van Sickle, who's our general counsel, but we're up to four. When I started, there was two, and Peggy, and Denise Bilbo has been awesome as well. She's helped us really look at the marketing side of things and the communications. She's got a master's in, has to do with social media, I forget the exact name of it, but she really gets the social media part and has really improved our presence. So I mentioned the incubator. So you can see up there, that's where it's gonna go. No. You see that up here? So we're right here. So it's basically this parcel right here. The Indian mound is right here. That's where all the artifacts are at. And then you can see kind of in the back here, this is where Sunnyland was at. But so we're talking about planning and how do we plan all of this. And we have this parcel up here as well. Dan Foss has taken this. Dan Foss has an option, not an option, but
where's the corridor?
I'm sorry?
Show them where the road's
where's going. The corridor that FSU was talking about redevelopment? Is that?
So you can't see it? It's over here?
It's further to the east, okay.
Yeah, I got a slide I can show you that it's not on here, but it's basically it starts at Orange Avenue by the nursery. It runs up through the nursery, through the driving range, between the clubhouse and the aquatic center, okay. Through Alumni Village, up,
okay. Yeah.
And then parallels Iamonia up to Stuckey, and then turns into Stuckey, okay. And runs right past the College of Engineering. So that's kind of the visual of that, where the incubator is going to go.
What's the timeline on that?
On the
trail?
Oh, on the road?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that tied to the 2020?
It is. It's tied to the sales tax dollars.
Sales tax, yeah.
But you can move some of it forward, yeah.
Yeah, it's just I don't know that they have a exact plan yet on the timing, but I think they want it quick. I know FSU is pushing to get it quick.
It actually moves the gate where you pay to leave parking at the airport down to Lake Bradford Road, yeah. So there's going to be a light there, I think. Mm-hmm. You'll come out and you right across and right up this way to get to town.
So this is just a rough layout we've been playing with on what might be there. So wet labs, this is the innovation lab. This has not really been planned. It's not going to be wide open like that, but we know we got that space reserved. That was the intent of this design, was just to say, can we fit in here all the stuff we want to fit in here? And the answer is yes. So office space and classroom space for some of our programs. And speaking of programs, so these are existing programs, but we just had our Tech Topics event yesterday where we had a couple of startup companies present. Went really well. He mentioned taking over the Entrepreneurial Excellence Program, which we just wrapped up. And I've told you about these before, but I want to mention something that Michael Tenowski brought and developed here is this SBIR CTR grant application training course that helps people go get money. These are federal dollars, so anywhere from $125,000 for a phase one to over $1 million for a phase two. And these are for basically it pairs a small business with a researcher or engineer or a team basically, and they apply to further develop the technology and eventually to commercialize it. And then the ICOR Lite program is a program that helps people qualify for the full-blown I-Corps program, which is a government program that's taught at Georgia Tech in our region. And if after they go through the program, they can qualify to get into that, and they get $50,000. And it's about customer validation, mostly, is what that program does. Is they go, okay, we have this idea. You got to go. I think you have to go visit 100+ potential customers and discuss your product and make sure that what you're planning on building is actually something somebody wants. A lot of people develop their products and.
Demand.
What's demand? Yes. So they get the whole business built, and then they go, oh, nobody wants this? So I mentioned the website redevelopment. So Denise basically started over and built us a new website. This is the trail where it's going to go. And these are the priorities we have right now. Well, I think the board may tell me something different when we actually have a strategic planning meeting, but... So these are the things we're focused on, is getting, you know, we get the grant, is do the incubator. We're in the process of setting up a 501c3. Basically, that's what the incubator will fall under, the 501c3, so we can go out and get corporate dollars to help fund either operations or, you know, donated equipment and whatever we need to do. We can actually take tax-deductible contributions now as a government entity, as long as it's for a public purpose. But many organizations, the first thing they do is put your EIN into the database to see if you're a 501c3, and if you're not, they're not even going to talk to you. So we found it probably easier just to get the 501c3. And it'll also allow us to put an advisory board together that can be focused on the incubator instead of having our general board.
How much legal costs is there to put together a 501c3 incubator?
Not much. As a matter of fact, I'm doing a lot of it myself because
application is pretty straightforward.
It's like setting up any. The hard part is the application, but what I'm finding is that we know more about it than the lawyers do, and so we'll put the application together and we'll run it by them and let them tell us what they think. And we also think it'll be easier than a typical 501c3 in terms of justification goes, because we're a special type of 501c3, because it's a supporting organization for a government entity. So we may not have to meet some of the tests, the more stringent testing requirements for a 501c3. So we'll see how that goes. But
to avoid being a private foundation versus public.
Yes.
Right. Where your source of money is from. Yeah, I think you're right, because you're a supporting organization.
Yeah, we're a type one. It's a 509-3A, one of those.
Et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. So. That's actually in the lawyer's hands right now. They've got the articles of incorporation and the bylaws ready to go. Mentioned Central Pond, the OEV partnership we talked about. We are trying to rewrite our covenants and restrictions and our PUD, which covenants haven't been updated since 1980-something. And we really need to get those better aligned with the PUD as it's been amended, and just make it easier for people to develop out here. It's not horrible, but there are some inconsistencies among the documents and it can be confusing as to what you have to do. I mentioned the Knight building, this building redevelopment, Collins. We're working on this marketing plan, and part of it's been who's doing what, and so there's been a lot of questions up in the air. This was in our original strategic plan, but until we could figure out who was doing what, the marketing plan didn't make any sense because we had nobody to execute anything. So now that we have the OEV, what they're doing and moving forward, we can coordinate what we're doing with what they're doing and how things are going to get marketed. And then we also are fortunate to have April Salter on our board, and I think she's anxious to help us at the strategic planning and through that process to get a more formal marketing plan together. And I mentioned the mixed-use development. That's it. You missed all the good pictures, sorry.
I knew that was going to happen.
We got a new business.
There you go. There's, I wanted you to see that one. That's the incubator. Floor plan.
And how big do you claim that?
40,000.
40,000.
Yeah, we took a trip around Gainesville. theirs and talk to their...
Is theirs out by Alachua? Is that where they have it, that park?
Yeah.
The Sid Martin Biotech Incubator. We looked at that one, and we also went to the Innovation Hub in Gainesville. And the guy that's running those now, both of those, is the same guy we hired to do our feasibility study for our incubator. Actually, he wasn't working there at the time. He was up at Indiana University. And after he's an FSU grad, coincidentally. And so after he did that, then he decided to move back. And I think it's, he just loved it when he spent the time. No, he's got I think parents at the Villages or something. But yeah, so that's, we went down there, visited, saw what they did. He told us everything, what not to do.
And the minimum number of square feet that works with a director-run facility like this is 40,000 square feet. You could make this same. You don't have debt service, then it might be, which is where we're headed.
Yeah, it is above market, slightly above market rents. But when you factor in all the amenities that are...
Market. you don't have any competition. Not even.
Well, exactly. So in terms of just, if you were just to go get space, you know, this is going to be more expensive than that. But when you look at the innovation lab and the wet labs and all the support services that come with that, it's a pretty good deal.
You know, that can tell you what size units you're going to rent. What are the basic kind of options you need for the wet lab or the innovation lab or whatever. I mean, they've done it. They've seen it. It's we don't have to recreate it.
The key, low risk. One of the keys is making sure you keep the spaces small and flexible so that if somebody comes in and says, I need a 500 square foot wet lab, you got a 500. If you need 1,000, well, you can have these two.
You can
open this door.
Open the wall or the door.
Yeah. You got two.
Yeah.
But if you got, I think at the Innovation Hub, they had, you know, 3,000 square foot wet labs. It's like, and nobody put them.
They got a subdivide and make more.
Yeah. So they're already renovating this new building to try to get it to where they can make it leasable. So
that makes sense.
So we're going to make sure we design that in.
Is Gainesville a competitor to us or? Are the markets differentiated?
We have lost companies to them. There's a couple down there right now, one in particular down there right now, that would like to be here. That was one of the, those are one of the companies that we talked about, the Collins Building. But what they started, I mean, they wanted a serious amount of space in the Collins Building, and it was somebody with deep pockets. But when they got to $1 million for the renovation, they stopped. And especially when they're down there with space that works for them and you know, paying $28 a foot.
What you find when you go to the different universities that are doing research or providing entrepreneurial services is the camaraderie between the different universities is phenomenal. They don't look at each other as a competitor. They're here to help you. The EEO, the Entrepreneurial Excellence Program, we went to the University of Central Florida, and Tom O'Neill down there gave us his curriculum to here.
And their director down there, matter of fact, said, we would love for you to build your incubator so these people have someplace to go, because we got a lot of people locally that need the space. Okay, they would love to kick them out.
They need to move them on to the next level.
Yeah, that too, but right. Even then, they have demand. They don't have a problem with demand. If there was a demand shortage, yes, I think it would get more competitive. But
They said we'd fill it up within the first year. In fact, half of it will be full before it's finished.
Yeah, we'll pre-lease, you know, as much as we can. I'm not sure if we're going to phase in any of the finishes, but...
And is that because the availability and the type of facility are also what's in the mag lab? Do they think that the mag lab is a draw, or is it just the availability of the...
It's availability of that space, which is...
Of that type of space.
Which is outside the university, so that you can take... the idea or concept off campus and turn it into a commercial commodity.
Dependent on demand generated from folks on the campus or want to attract people from out of town?
Well, interestingly enough, I think again, about half of the tenants they had were from the community, not from the
university. Oh, really?
This is not going to be strictly university. What our hope is, if you go back to the that, well, you weren't here for that, The SBIR, STTR program that Michael has developed, that program is to connect small business with researchers and engineers who, the small business, you know, they've got the business side, but the engineers and scientists have the technology. You put them together, they get a grant for $125,000 on phase one to help them further develop and get to a prototype. And then they can get, in phase two, they can get over $1 million. So that's the reason for that program, is to start building a pipeline of potential tenants for the incubator, that people who have money who can pay the rent. If you just take the average person off the street and they're bootstrapping it, it's going to be harder for them to come into an incubator unless they have some, you know, serious seed funding, angel funding, something that they can pay the rent. So that's why we're doing some of the programs we're doing, is to try to build that pipeline in advance of the incubator coming online, is that we're trying to create the demand side. But yes, it's
interesting to have from our community.
Think about what's around the university, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, there's, somebody's got an idea, but doesn't have a place to work on it.
Yeah. And the challenge we have here, as opposed to some larger communities, is you don't have the industrial base of companies where, a lot of times companies are created by employees who are tired working the corporate life, but they know the technology of that company. They know there's this technology sitting on the shelf that the company doesn't want to mess with because it doesn't fit their core. They can take that technology off the shelf, start a new company with it, and go. And they're experts in that area already. They're not learning about some new technology. So we don't have a lot of that here. I think there's some, but... So we've got to find different ways of creating that pipeline of companies.
Does most of what you expect to come here start with the Research Foundation, that they're bankrolling, you know, the core work at the university? Once it matures, you expect it to come
here? Well, and FAMU has research going on at their pharmacy school over there. I mean, the labs are incredible, and when they have to come out of there, they got to have a wet lab to go to an incubator, or they have to leave town. Eunice Kobe.
Kofi.
She's a graduate of FAMU who created a line of cosmetics. That's not even the right word. Anyway, skin treatment for African Americans and people with the same tone of skin to take and solve some problems. And she's created a complete line. And she's got, she was coming out of FAMU, wanted to go into FSU's incubator, when we had an incubator, 2500 square feet, and I went and saw him, and she was the first FAMU student or graduate to take her product and go into that lab, and she did it over about a 6 month period. She finalized her formulas, and I don't know where she is in her company development. Do you, Ron? She left town. She moved to Virginia or something.
Oh, did she? She was also a tech grant winner. We gave her some money to help her get going as well. The biggest challenge I found with her is that she never really got the product moving along that she sold us on. She did develop a, I think, more cosmetics for African Americans, but I don't think she ever really got that product going. Mm-hmm. Last I heard. So.
I lost touch with her, so I don't know where she went. But that's the kind of, you know, you come out of school and you want to be right here and you're working with the same people you've been working with to develop the product to the state that it's at. And then you got to leave. And so you tear the team apart.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe I'm stating the obvious, but the more you know about what's in the pipeline with those two organizations.
Yeah.
You know, the more you can plan to be ready for them.
That's right.
And again, that's part of that SBIR, CTR process, is you're marrying the business with the science and research, so you know what's going on there. And we are involved with that. I mean, that's part of what we do with our TechTopics program, is we get those people to come in and talk about what they're developing. We bring the community in for that. We had, 35 people or something like yesterday for that event, a mix of people from the community and researchers and the Office of Research and all of that. I don't know if I've shown you this model before, but every presentation I do to the public, I just presented to Capital City Bank a couple days ago, and trying to educate people as to why research parks exist. a lot of people go, it's like a business park, right? No, it's not. There's more to it than that. There's a reason why we do this. And so right now, we have a lot of this. So FSU and FAMU are doing these things. They're doing basic research and applied research. And frankly, the Mag Lab is doing mostly this, mostly basic. They have some things going on that's commercializable, but they don't have a lot of stuff on the shelf coming out of the Mag Lab. Now, a lot of the facilities, you know, HPMI and the Air Propulsion Mechatronics and the Energy Building, a lot of the technologies that are in those facilities came as a result of the Mag Lab. So it's not like the Mag Lab's unimportant. It is, and I think there's probably even more opportunities than what they're taking advantage of there. But we've got to get more of this. And to get more of this, this is where the private folks come in, because universities aren't doing this. They may have a grad student or postdoc or a professor that wants to do this, you know, and there are some that have done this, but this is going to come from private companies. It could come from local companies. It could come from folks that we attract from out of town. So in this business attraction strategy, it's not just about getting people located here to build, you know, to create a manufacturing plan. It's if they do their development and commercialization here, it's this connection they have to these other pieces that help them be better. That's part of the value proposition. But there's also stuff that university has sitting on the shelf, technology that's ready to be taken to market or further developed and commercialized, that we can connect people with through that SBIR, SCTR program.
Yeah, FSU built a magnet for Germany, for the country of Germany, for $10 million. And it married two technologies. One was superconductive side, the other side, I forget. And the engineer who came over here from Germany to oversee the quality of the products, construction during this being developed, gave a presentation, and he talked about how he had traveled the world to try to find a single building where these two technologies could be married together by people that knew what they were doing. And the only place in the world that he could find that technology in one building was at FSU.
Hmm.
That's how far above, right, you know, the rest of it.
And let me tell you about another one we lost. So we had a tenant in this building that we tried to help along. Young entrepreneur, former Marine, had spent time at the White House working when he was a Marine. Had tried a couple of different startups and failed both times. He went through our entrepreneurial excellence program twice. he went to work for the Small Business Development Center and helped coach people on government procurement, because that's what he learned how to do when he was in the Marines. And then he went through a program, I don't know if you knew about, Career Source Capital Region had a program called Startup Quest. And I was actually on their advisory board, and that program was a limited time, limited funded program that was designed to help unemployed and underemployed people with bachelor's degrees or higher learn about tech commercialization. They took a real live database of technologies that existed at the universities and labs in Florida and connected them to these groups of people, teams of people that they would say, okay, take a look at this and develop a business plan around how you would commercialize this product. A real live technology. Well, this guy was coaching one of the teams and he saw the technology and says, hey, I like this. This is good stuff. And he said, so he took that, and he took a, it was actually a technology, I think, out of UCF, around high-temperature sensors. And he took it and married it with some technology that was developed here. And I believe, I'm not sure if that was I think it was the wireless communication. But anyway, he married basically this high-temperature sensor with some wireless communication. And now he has a sensor that can go inside of a jet engine that can determine potential failures before they happen, okay, in a very hostile environment, okay? Well, he was in our building. He won in space. He needed a lab. We had nothing. We couldn't help him. He needed an incubator, so he went to what's the in Daytona Beach? Ember Riddle. Thank you. They just built an incubator, heavily tied into aeronautics. And so now he started out in their incubator. He has won many awards, lots of dollars in competitions. We gave him some dollars. I think FSU gave him some dollars in the GAP grant. And a couple months ago he left and is now located at Embry-Riddle's incubator. So,
did he have some sort of aeronautics or engines? How did he make the leap to that particular use of that?
He went to...
It was fascinating to have that. Somebody sees that.
He had no experience. He had no experience with that.
He understood the problem and then found a solution.
He found people to help him. So he worked with, through the FSU GAP program, connected with a researcher at FSU.
I get the thing. I just haven't been able to make it to the, talking about to the presentation.
No, the GAP.
We meet twice a year, FSU. And then there's a committee of us, and I've been fortunate to be on it for about 7 or 8 years now. And Larry Lynch works with those that they bring forward to hopefully win
to get some
money. We got $125,000 twice a year to split, and we'll have 4 to 6 professors give a presentation, and then we'll decide if we're going to commit any dollars. So how much?
That's different than our tech grant program that you get the emails about.
Okay.
But
send me a next time.
Okay.
It's always fascinating. Somebody makes that leap.
Theirs tend to be earlier stage. A lot of these are still scientists in the lab, right?
Oh yeah.
Trying to get it to a at least to
the stuff that
development stage
before us is so vast and different. Some of them are a product you could make into a product right now. Some of them are going to cure a disease, and it's going to take 20 years to finish this research. And so you have to figure out how to put your resources so that you got some stuff going through. While this one over here is sailing along and gaining speed, but not altitude necessarily. It's really, really an interesting. It's a half day of listening, and then we sit and have lunch and calculate how you would rate one of these over the other. What do we call it?
Solar sausage.
Solar sausage.
Yeah.
That was one of the GAP winners. And then there's a guy that came up with a way to put a vacuum chamber in a dirigible, so that you could lift as much weight as a windmill weighed up with a dirigible and put them in the oddest places that you couldn't drive to or anything else.
Those things are huge.
Yeah.
Those windmills.
Yeah. You don't build one piece, but what you end up with is something that can handle maybe 8 or 10 tons, something like that. And so then they got vacuum pumps, helium into a chamber that is a pneumatic chamber. So you make it rigid with pneumatic cells so that it can suck all this stuff in. And the helium actually lifts a dirigible at about the same density as the air around it. So you can't blow it out because it won't go away in a hurry.
Hmm.
It's funny. It's not like 100 psi. It's like 10 or 12 or whatever the number is for the ambient. But you can release it back into that chamber to take off. So you're actually able to land this dirigible. And he got some patents on that. That's pretty big.
He's using bags of sand.
Well, that's a good way to take off. That ain't a good way.
Yeah, right.
Well, I think we probably had a great meeting and enjoyed seeing everybody. And I don't know if there's any other business we'll adjourn.
I hope you got something out of it.
Holy shit.
Yes. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah.